Good morning.
Hi. Linda.
Linda, how are you doing today, Linda?
Oh, I'm fine. Oh,
really? Sure hope you don't have to sell that to somebody else.
Oh, no, I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. You know.
All right.
Trying to put a deal together, you know. Having trouble, on the other end, you know, this time with having sellers, you know, with a buyer putting in offers and having the other end, the sellers understanding market value and, you know, on the other end, you know, and where houses will appraise too, you know, putting in reasonable offers and the other realtors don't have it priced right and, you know, pulling up comps and knowing that, you know, the bank won't appraise it. So
right.
I'm on the second property with the same buyers, you know, and saying, look, you know, I can pull comps and say this house won't appraise, you know, and so I'm back and forth, you know. So
right.
You know, you have trouble even putting a deal together when you have buyers that want to buy, you know.
Right. Right. Definitely there are so many more challenges today in this marketplace.
Yeah.
You know, definitely between buyers, between lenders, buyers, sellers, challenges, you know, it definitely is tougher.
Yeah.
Let me see if anybody else is on here. I've got Linda. Do I have anybody else? Do I have Mary?
I'm here.
Yes, I'm here.
Mary and Richard?
Yeah.
And Joan.
Okay. And Joan.
Yeah.
I know. I said that.
We got a full house.
Yeah.
Amen.
I was here earlier, but I got disconnected, so.
Oh, well, we do that to people sometimes.
Oh, just to see if we're on the ball?
If you miss more than two in a row, we disconnect you.
No, I'm just kidding you. Okay. Welcome, everybody. That's good. I'm excited. Full house. Hang on here. One more quick second here. Make sure I get everybody noted. Anybody have any really exciting news about the last week?
I have some exciting news about this upcoming week.
Well, that'll work.
I'm going to go see Tony Robbins.
Are you good?
For 3 days. I'm going to go see Tony Robbins for 3 days.
What are you taking?
I just put it through in my briefcase. Just a second, I'll tell you exactly what it is. The last time he did this in Canada was 15 years ago. Unleash the Power Within.
Unleash the Power Within. Cool.
You get to walk on hot coals the first night.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I spent a lot of time with Tony. I coached with Tony for a while, and I went through Mastery University 3 times, I think.
Wow.
Twice as a coach, so you really enjoy it. You really will. That'll be fun. Tony's a neat guy.
Well, I sure hope it gives me some direction in life.
Well, I think that, you know, again, I was talking with Linda first this morning, and we were just discussing a little bit about how tough this marketplace is. And again, we can point out faults. We can find fault like we're getting paid for it, like there's some kind of reward. There really is no reward for finding fault with this marketplace. But one of the things I do think you have to be very, very, very careful of, I'm not picking on Linda, but I could almost hear it in her voice, the challenges that we face in this marketplace today are beginning to wane. They're beginning to wear on some of us. And I think I've shared this with you guys before, the illustration of if I walked into a room where everybody was coughing and hacking and spitting and sneezing, pretty obvious that they, you know, I'm walking into a very infected area. You know, lots of people have a cold and flu. And the chances are pretty good that just by being there, I'm going to catch it too. The difference is, or the only way that I can see to avoid that, is if I've gone in with preventative maintenance, meaning I've gone in there with taking the right kind of drugs before I walked into that room. Or the other thing is that I could escape just by not spending a whole lot of time there. In other words, I walk into a room and everybody's coughing, hacking, and spitting. First thing I want to do is get out of there. The illustration, I don't know, have I used this with you guys before?
Mm-hmm. No. I think so. You talked about it last week, I think.
Oh, I did. Okay.
Yeah.
The illustration, again, is sorry for the redundancy, but it is so applicable, is, you know, for us, the cold and the flu represents the negativity in this marketplace, all the challenges, all the ups and downs, all the, you know, the stupid mortgage rules, the, you know, the indecisive buyers, indecisive sellers, the, you know, all the challenges that we face, that represents the negativity in this business. And what it takes at this particular point is, number one, I can't spend time with other people who want to collaborate on or who want to talk about how bad things are. I really need to take, you know, my preventative medication for this, so to speak, is looking for solutions rather than the challenge, rather than the problem. It is being solution-oriented. It's looking for what works, not what does not work. It is working on myself, you know, it's working on my personal development. It's the reading that I've given you or asked you to read. It's taking that reading and building on that and expanding on that. When I look in my library, you know, my library is just my office. It's not glamorous. It's a nice office. But I've got like 700 books that stare at me every time I, you know, no matter what direction I turn in here, they've got wall-to-wall books. And I've read most of these books. And, you know, I'm pretty careful about what I do read. But I constantly am looking for ways to lift my own spirit. Because I know in this world, I've got to be a beacon to other people. I can't be out there going, well, you know how tough it is out here. I can't be an Eeyore in the midst of many Eeyores in this business. I have to look for what's good. I have to ask that question. What's good about this marketplace? Can anybody tell me what's good about this marketplace right now?
Well, you know what I think is good? I think that one thing that if you learn from this market and what you learn, because this is the toughest market I think you'll ever work, and you get through it, and what you learn from this market, you'll benefit it from any other time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? So I think to be in this, even though it's probably the hardest market you'll ever work, you'll be able to be the best in any other market. So that's what I thought of, like, in the last couple of weeks. You
probably heard that song that I think it was Frank Sinatra saying, if, you know, New York, New York, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. You know, that's a benchmark for, you know, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere in the United States, because this is one of the toughest markets for entertainment is New York. Well, the same thing. What you just said there is just one of the toughest times in, excuse me, in the real estate marketplace. This each year for the last 3 years. Hang on just a second. Each year for the last 3 years, it's gotten a little bit tougher. And those individuals who have stuck with it, and those individuals who are, you know, have stepped up and said, you know what, I got to learn a different way. I've got to do some things differently. You know, get into coaching or get into, buying tapes or CDs on how to improve my sales skills. You know, actually applying the things that you're learning. I was so excited when I looked through the homework. I got homework from everybody in this room, so to speak, in this class. Everybody sent me something this week. That's a first. You know, it says, hey, look, okay, I may not be doing everything just right. And believe me, when I looked at the numbers, I know you're not doing everything just right, but you're trying. You're trying. You're putting one foot forward, and you're moving, and you're taking, you know, whether they're small steps or giant steps, you're making progress. In this marketplace, there are so many positives that it is, for me, when you look at this marketplace, is now a good time to buy? Yes. Is now a good time to buy? Why? Interest rates, amount of inventory out there. Pricing is the best pricing we've had for 2 or 3 years. Excellent time to buy real estate. Is it a good time to sell? If you have a motivation to buy something, now's a good time to sell. If you have to sell, now's a good time to sell. Is it the best time to sell? Nope. Why is it a good time to sell? Because I know what my parameters are. I know that I have to compete with everybody else in the marketplace out there. I know, based on the things that you and I have talked about, you know that, you know, in this marketplace, you have to have your house prepared. It has to have great curb appeal. It has to be priced well. And if it has those three things, and location, if it has those things, then the bottom line is it's going to sell. Does that make it a good time to sell or a bad time to sell? What defines a good time to sell? When I can get the most money for something? When I deal with multiple offers? I don't think so. Matter of fact, most of the time in 2004, 2005, most of the complaints were about the fact that, you know, we were fighting for commission. You know, everybody wanted to discount commission. We were fighting multiple offers. You know, it was just a different market. Were things going up in value? Yes. And now they're going, now they've been going down. For the last 2.5, 3 years, they've been going down. Okay? They're getting close to the bottom in most marketplaces. Okay? Some, they've actually even started going up in very, very small increments. The bottom line is, we just sent you out last week. We sent you out a new listing on hand form. Did you all get that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
For those of you who have not started using it, I'd like to go through that real quick because this particular session is what we call a pause section. It gives us a chance, and I didn't mean to start it off by telling you all the things that I wanted to tell you. I wanted to open it up for a few questions and some challenges and to kind of go back over a few things that we've learned along the way. But this form that I just sent you out, if you've got it with you, take a look at it right now. If you can pull it up on your computer, if you've got it printed out. Again, this form was developed out of the necessity of this marketplace. And necessity, as Tony says, necessity is the mother of invention. When you need to do something different, you'll come up with a different idea. This little form if you'll notice, has identification, name, or street. That's the first thing. It says motivation level on a scale of 1 to 10. You think that motivation level is important?
Definitely.
Okay. I'm not going to go through and try to tell you what a 1 or a 10 is. I mean, obviously, a 1 is not very motivated. A 10 is very, very motivated. So what you want to do is you're going to develop your own style towards this. You know, it's like a teacher grading papers, especially when things are subjective. You know, you know, from my perspective, you know, if I've got a under a 5 or under a 6 in motivation, I don't really want that listing. Okay? Now, I may already have the listing. It may already be a 5 or 6. Now, keep in mind that motivation changes. Okay? Motivation changes. Let me give you an example of how motivation changes. I list my house with Linda, and today my motivation is a 5. Okay, Linda tells me I have to clean up my house. I have to make a couple of repairs. I need to landscape the front of the yard. I need to make it more appealing from the curb. I do all that. Okay, now I haven't done it for 10 years, but now I've got it looking good. Okay. Maybe my motivation jumps a little bit. Sometimes it'll go back the other way because now it's like, wow, I got it already. It looks pretty nice like this. You know, maybe I'll take it off the market. But most of the time what it'll do is it's going to take a small jump. So maybe it goes from a 5 to a 7. Okay? And then that weekend, now that I've got all my homework done, I've done all the things I'm supposed to do, Linda's got my house open, has an open house on it, and I'm out wandering around, and I wander through an open house. And the next thing you know, I go, wow, I can really have this house? I could have this? Wow. You know, now all of a sudden I found what I'm looking for, or I see what potentially I can have, and my motivation jumps up again. Keep in mind, motivation goes both ways. Okay? So, you know, in today, in a changing market where my motivation today might be a 9, you know, all of a sudden I'm coming back to you 2 months later with a very substantial price reduction, and you're going, no way, I'm not going that low. Go back and check motivation level, because at some point the motivation level dropped with the price going down. Okay? In other words, now you say, well, if I'm going to go down that low, I might as well just keep it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Date listed, date to expire, self-explanatory, listing price, self-explanatory. Again, this form is something that I want you looking at every day. Every day, every week. You know, what do I have inventory-wise? If I don't have anything inventory-wise, obviously, you want to be getting some inventory. My BMSP stands for what? Big money selling price. Okay, so listing price and big money selling price side by side. Remember, listing price and both big money selling price, especially if my market is dropping still, that BMSP is dropping with it. Okay? So today I've got it listed for $250,000. My BMSP says it's $225,000. I know that I'm too high. My 60-day selling probability will be percentage is now, if you notice, I changed it from 30 days to 60 days. It's still pretty low, maybe 20%, but it's going to require that I get it priced right. You know, I'm approximately 10% overpriced, okay? You know, what does that mean? If I'm looking at this form and I'm going, man, I got 0% chance of selling this thing in the next 60 days. I'm 10% or 12% overpriced. My BMSP shows me exactly how far I am off today. And then I go and I look at, well, I say I've had this listing for 5 months. I've had it for 150 days. 150 days. I look, and then I go over here to the final column. It says DOM stands for days on market. Days on market are what's the average days for a $250,000 house right now. So you go to your market trends and you go to your MLS, and you'll find out, okay, well, days on the market for 250,000 is 87 days. Okay, well, you're already at 150. Go back through the thing and say, okay, makes sense because my BMSP is way too high. I mean, we're 12% overpriced. No wonder it's out here way beyond the average. If I'm going to do anything with this house to make it sell, I need to have a drastic price reduction. I really need to nail the price now, or I need to let the listing go. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Can you see the value of this form?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. This form is critical. Now, if you don't have any listings, you know, it might seem for naught. But again, your whole idea is to be out there developing new listings, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in your hunt for listings, you want to be sure that you're checking yourself to make sure that you're not taking on listings that are not going to sell. Okay?
This is Joan. I don't have that form, which is why you got the old form the other day.
Okay, did you check your emails?
Yeah, and I checked my junk mail too, and it's not there.
Okay.
So just get her to resend it to me, and I'll use it the next time when I fill it out next week.
Okay. All right.
I received it on July 14th, John.
Okay. Yeah, that should be. Anybody else not have it? Okay. I'll get it out to you, Lynn, or Joan.
Thank you.
Okay. Tell me what some of the things are that you've gotten so far, as far out, you know, just since, you know, I know this, some of this may have been redundant because you had Michael before, but for the most part, I've tried to spice it up. I've tried to give you a little bit more than what you had before, and I'm not actually looking for a report card here as much as I am. Are you seeing the value of this? Is it changed? Is it shifted? Is it better? Is it, you know, do you have any areas where you feel like you're not being addressed? I'll just kind of open that up. If nobody talks, we'll...
I'm all by myself, Don, and I don't really have a support system of any type to supply... declining leads. I don't know really how many leads come in if you're with a big company. I mean, I've been with big companies, but that was like 20 years ago. So I'm not sure where I should be focusing my prospecting efforts. If I should just, you know, percentage-wise, call my sphere of influence, or if I should sign up for Red X, or if I should sign up for Realty Track, or if I should... you know, try to get leads over the internet. I'm not sure exactly how to allocate my time during the day because the weak link in my chain right now is leads.
Okay.
I would say, this is Mary, and I would say that is the same for me. I want to give my feedback on Realty Track. I've been doing it for the last 2 months, and I follow up on those leads, and it's really how they get you in there is you pay like about $100 a month just to get the leads, and there's like 8 to 10 leads you get. And whenever I call the people, they're like, oh, no, I just put my information in so I could, you know, move through Realty Track. I'm not really interested in buying or I want to see a bank-owned property. And right now, the bank owns that aren't on the market, you can't get into. So I'm not sure that's the wisest place to spend your money. That's just my opinion.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I don't get any leads from my company with RE/MAX. I don't get my own. And... I did just pick up another expired, so now that's two. I've gotten, it'll be five this year, but, another one I'm putting on the market. And I've been going out to, now I started in the last week or two. Well, I have been doing it to local businesses, and now I walked into one and introduced myself last week, and now they have, I went back in on the second visit with my pre-listing packet because they have a 5,000 square foot house to sell. And it's just, I happened to go in at the right time. So, and when I went back in the second time with my pre-listing packet, they said, oh, the guy that owns the store gas station said he already recommended you. He's buying a house from you because I already hit him. So I've been hitting, like, you know, I live close to, like, one of the busiest main roads in North Providence. But I have been, like one by one, just, like, introducing myself, and it's, like, everyone knows me. And, you know, it's, like, drop in, and it really kind of, like, it's hard, but personal drop in. And, like, already one person has, that I know, has two multifamilies that she's rehabbing and has my pre-listing packet, which she'll list with me. And it's like business down the line, but it's like you have to go out and meet people too, I think. And not.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Let me kind of just address this both for Richard and for all of you guys at this particular point. One of the things that I've shared with you before is that activity breeds activity. But understand activity, activity isn't just what we're looking for. In other words, I want to generate leads. I want to be a lead generation machine. I think you probably have to be careful because you know there are programs out there. There's Home Values, there's Realty Track, and there's Red X. And while I think those all have a legitimate place in the marketplace, it may not be very good for your location. You really have to check them out individually to see if that's going to be of help to you. I've recommended the Red X a number of times, but I have to tell you that I don't recommend it carte blanche. I don't just say you need to go sign up for this. I suggest that you take a look at the Red X. If you're going to work for sale by owners or expired, it can be a very valuable tool to you. Some markets, they do better than in other markets. You know, so you may look at the Red X and say, you know what, that's not for me. You know, that's not going to get me where I need to go. The same thing with Realty Track and the same thing with Home Values, House Values. I've probably been as critical of House Values as anybody I know. But I've honestly had clients who've done very well with House Values. Not very many, but I've had a few who have done very well. Now you do want to be careful because remember that what they're offering, you know, House Values and the same thing with Realty Track is, you know, you're casting a very wide net. Okay, so you know anybody who wants to get their home price can go to House Values. Anybody who wants to be involved with Realty Track can be involved with Realty Track, but they don't have to actually be in foreclosure, or they don't have to actually be dealing with a foreclosure per se. So you're going through. That's what I mean by a wide net. You know, you're bringing in lots of fish, but how many of them are keepers? And this is where.
I'm sorry, John. This is Mary again. I actually did House Values for about 2 to 3 years, and mm-hmm. I did really well with them. But I will say this about House Values. You build your database. It's more of a database builder, I think. And when you convert, it goes back to like what Dirk talks about on his CDs. How much are you really netting is what really makes the difference
right.
in life. And with as much as you pay at the end of the day, you're probably not netting more than $1,000. I mean, it was pretty much a break even for me. I did build my database from it and did get a lot of clients from it, but I broke even when it came to net.
Right.
On House Values.
Well, again, you do want to weigh that. You know, I mean, I've had clients who said, well, you know, kind of, you know, I get 200 leads a weekend. I'm going, okay. Explain that. Well, there's nothing down. Nothing down. You know, contract for a $150,000 house. But guess what? I just generated a bunch of leads, but now I got to spend. You know, I know that 95% of these are no good. So out of 200 leads, I know 180 of them or 190 of them are no good. Well, how long is that going to take me to get through 190 leads? And if I go through 190 leads, what are the chances that you know, just with the attitude that I will be developing and going through all those leads, that I could miss the 5 or 10? Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean by that? You know, I get so used to telling people, well, just drive by, just drive by, just drive by. Or, you ask them a question. You try to qualify people. And in that process, nobody gets past our first point. And pretty soon we start treating everybody the same way. Okay.
Yeah.
So remember, it's not just about leads. We're trying to narrow that funnel down to where we're trying to generate quality leads. So if you're struggling with leads, let me share this with you. Look, one of the things, I think it was Linda that was talking about, you know, going even door to door, you know, even in a commercial venue. You know, this business about being face-to-face, nose-to-nose, belly-to-belly with people. And, you know, so if I've got a group of past clients or I don't have a group of past clients, who's my sphere of influence? Who are the people that I know? Who are the people who know me, at least on site? You know, my cleaners, my people in my church, people in my soccer team, people on the, you know, who is the nucleus of people that I know? You know, these are the people that I'm going to start with. And if I've got past clients, I want to stay on top of those. And then if I don't have anything else, then I've got for sale by owners and I've got expires. But I have to pick one. Don't try to do both. Try to do one or the other. Try to get good. Use the scripts. You know, if you're struggling with the scripts, you need some help with that, let me know. But the bottom line is get a script, start working it, and start working all the for sale by owners or all the expireds. You know, check into Red X and see if that's going to be of help to you. The face-to-face networking. You know, I just got off the phone with a client that's been with me for about 3 years, and him and his son are in business together, but he's been in business for 30 years. He'd been doing the same farm for 25 years, same geographic farm for 25 years. Do you think he gets a pretty good percentage of what comes out of that farm?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. He does. Always trying to get more, always trying to get more. But again, you know, here's 2,500 people that he has developed some kind of a relationship with. You know, depending on the depth would depend on how many times he's actually seen them and met with them and those kinds of things. But his signs are up in that subdivision all the time. They sell, good reputation. He didn't get it overnight. He did not get that reputation overnight. So if you're struggling right now and you say, okay, well, look, geographically, I don't even have a farm. I need to start off with 500 people. And I just need to be knocking on those doors every month. And, you know, if my company has something to pass out, well, maybe I can save some money and just pass out something from my company and along with my business card. Business cards are cheap. You know, I have to create the right kind of action if I'm going to get the right kind of result. And so I definitely want to be looking for ways. If I'm part of a philanthropic organization like Rotary or Lions Club or a business club like Chamber of Commerce, Optimists, or whatever the groups are that are out there. You know, these are opportunities for you to network with other people. Remember, everybody I talk to knows somebody else. Everybody I communicate with knows somebody else. Every time I talk to somebody new, I expand my potential net by 10. You know, and so again, it's this business is about communicating. It's about being happy with what you do. It's about, you know, being positive in a negative world, in a negative environment such as real estate right now. It's stepping up to the plate, and it's being that individual who says, now's a great time to buy, or now's a great time to sell. You know, there's no hypocrisy in it. It is true. You know, if you're serious about doing either one of those two, now's a good time to do it. Anybody disagree with me?
No.
Okay, well, it would have been more fun if somebody would have, but...
No. Well, no, well, it, you know, it's not, you know, it's, you know, you have hard days and, you know, then you know, you have to keep boosting yourself up. And that's
right.
You know, you win some and you lose some, and sometimes you lose more than you win, you know, but that's the way it is right now. So you just keep on going. But, you know, like I told you, you know, like when I even first got on, I said, all right, you know, I'm having trouble, like, negotiating, going back and forth. But then, again, on, like I said, with one offer, then I had a call back on one I had put in. They're thinking of taking one of my offers. And then I had a seller who I have one of his listings. He called me yesterday, and he said something that was really smart. And he met with me, and we're going to meet at 9 tomorrow. And he said, I'm going to let go. He said, my problem is in my wife's. He said, his house is absolutely, is so nicely maintained and is so nice. And he said, we really want to sell now, and we've been holding on to the emotional attachment of their house, because every inch of the 2 acres of their house, their lot, is like so perfectly manicured, and they put like everything so meticulous into that house, and it did it so well. And they said, we're going to think of it more as a business transaction than an emotional one. And they said, we want you to come over with the exact price tomorrow of where our house is going to sell. And they're looking to buy a house. The houses that they've given me are all like $500,000-$600,000 houses. And I mean, it's a chance for me to do $1 million in real estate right now. But they said they want the exact number. And which, okay. You know, and so, I mean...
They're asking you to tell them
the truth. That's what he said to me. I met him face to face, and he said, the thing is with real estate agents, and he says, we picked you. They threw 13 real estate agents out. We picked you because we said, you know, we know that, you know, you do good business and you'll be honest, and he said to me, we want you to tell us the exact truth. But I have comps that have sold that are comparable, that have been higher, and I just, you know, don't know why, and that have sold in the last couple of weeks even. But, and you know, so am I underpricing it? But I'm not getting anyone in. But it's like way up in Barville in the woods, and I still can say it would still appraise, and, you know, and the value is there, you know. So,
okay, but you got to recognize in this marketplace that one of the things that he's clearly said to you is,
I want
to know where it's going to sell.
I know. So he, you know, going to bring it down like at least another 20, but I'm going to, then again, I'm like going through the numbers again today, but he said, the number that you pick, I don't want to go under.
at all.
Okay.
So pick a number.
Okay. So he's basically telling you exactly what you need to hear, and that is, look, I know I need to be under market value.
Right.
You need to tell me where that is.
That's what he
but
said.
But don't
exactly.
screw with it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Richard.
Well, I would tell them just personally, first of all, you've got to realize that pricing a home is not an exact science. It's
I
an
know.
Art. And no one knows
know.
The exact price until a ready, willing, and able buyer finds a ready, willing, and able seller. So it's a crystal
yeah.
ball type of a question. However,
exactly.
to get a third party independent opinion might be helpful. And if he wants to pay for an appraisal up front, you can reimburse him at the closing. Those are just
he's already had
numbers.
An appraisal.
Okay.
He's already had an appraisal and appraised higher than my price that it's on the market.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you've got to realize you're not a magician. You're not going to predict the exact price.
I know. So.
Guys, we're going to be talking the next week or in 2 weeks from now. We're going to be talking about generating referral business. And the one thing I want to say before we jump into that next time is, I have to build a base of business that's going to give me the amount of referrals that I need. So remember what we were just talking about. You know, I need to get face to face. I need to prospect. I need to generate new business all the time, all the time. Now, you do that for the next 5-10 years, and I guarantee you'll have a strong business. It'll be a thriving, growing business. But you got to be consistent at this area. You know, if that means sitting down and making 5 calls, 5 contacts a day to expireds. That means sitting down and making, you know, knocking on, you know, creating a geographic farm and knocking on 500 doors a week for the next 2 years, next 5 years, then do it. Because what you're going to get is, and you never know where these things come from. And that's why I said do not be attached to the results. Do not be attached to the outcome. In other words, I sit down and I make my prospecting calls. Just remember, it's just part of what I do. It should be something that you don't even think about. You just do. It's just part of my everyday. If you make it part of your everyday, you're doing it for 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is you decide that you can do it. You know, 4 days, 5 days a week, but, you know, I'm consistently doing it over and over again. What you will build is you'll be amazed at where leads come from. You know, you're sitting at your desk one day, somebody walks through the door, you're the only one in the office. I need somebody to help me sell my house. I've just been transferred. This is what is meant by activity breeds activity. If I'm focusing on the right activity, I will generate the like results. Okay. Now, if I'm just, I mean, you can get stuck in paperwork. You can get stuck in being very involved in the computer, or working on a website, or, you know, goofing off, being distracted on the internet. And believe me, all of those will create some additional activity. But will it be productivity? And that's where when I'm prospecting, I am being productive. I am developing leads that I don't even know where they're going to come from. I don't even know who they're going to be. But I called Victor and asked him if he knew anybody about that was looking to buy, sell, or refinance, and, you know, 3 days later, somebody calls me out of the clear blues and said, I got your name from somebody, can't even remember who it was, but they said, give you a call, and next thing you know, you're working with a quality seller or a quality buyer. You know, that's what I mean by don't being attached. If you're attached to the results, I guarantee you will not keep going on your prospecting. You will be second-guessing yourself all the time. What I'm telling you to do is learn how to prospect, develop the sales skills, develop the skills, through repetition, through doing it over and over again, and you will become very good. You and your consistent efforts will provide you with consistent results. It doesn't always come from those people that we are talking to. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. You know, developing or generating referral business is what we're all about. I mean, you know, a guy has been in this business for 20 or 30 years or a gal has been in this business for 20 or 30 years, you know, if they've done the things that we've just been talking about, they have more than enough business coming at them on a regular basis. Matter of fact, from a coaching standpoint, it's kind of hard to get some of my 20-year veterans who are, you know, have a consistent $250,000 to $1 million business to get them focused on prospecting because their phones are always ringing. Isn't that what you want too?
Definitely.
Yeah.
You want your phone to ring. You want to be that person who's always busy doing the things that that people get paid for in real estate. You got to start being that person. You got to lay the groundwork. You got to make the calls and make the knocks. You got to meet the people. You know, you got to carry business cards with you wherever you go. You've got to be a beacon to individuals that you come in contact with. Very easy to be able to say, oh man, it's a tough market. You know, get out of that habit, get out of that mode. Man, today's a great day. You know, change your behavior and you will change your results. Yeah, Zig Ziglar, and I've heard it from other people say, attitude predicts altitude. How high are you going to go in this business? You know, if your attitude is humdrum or blah or, you know, status quo, guaranteed you're not going to have a ton to offer out there. People are looking for that bright spot. People want to walk away feeling good about having spent time with you. Okay? Where are they going to get that? You got to be truth tellers and answer finders. Said very well, but you know, solution oriented, not problem oriented. Okay, there's plenty of problems out there. What you're looking for is how to make it better. How do I make this marketplace better? How do I make it more fun for my clients? What do I got to do differently to be, you know, to be a bright spot in people's day? What do I need to do to build my business? Okay? Anybody have any questions about where we're going? Anybody have any questions about anything?
I do, Don. This is okay. Mary.
Okay.
You know, you were talking about the networking piece and being part of the chamber, and I am very active in the chamber.
Uh-huh.
So when you talk about, because I probably do two or three events with them every week, and I was just talking to somebody else about this. I haven't gotten any business from it, so obviously I'm not asking it for it in the right way. How do you approach that? Do you put them in your sphere and then do them calls afterwards? Do you do it right there in front of them? How do you do that?
Well, you know, you want to get into a habit of, you know, as goofy as it sounds, and I do think it sounds goofy, you know, I hate those things that say I heart referrals. they just annoy the heck out of me. I don't really know why, but I almost want to be that annoying.
Well,
you
and
know,
I run a leads group through the chamber. I'm actually the leader of it. I did it with a business. She does like business coaching. So we started a leads group together, and we have a lot of people interested. But I do have those little stickers. I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't use them either, but I have them.
Yeah. Well, don't take it personal. It was just my opinion, anyway. But I guess my statement or my answer to that is, we do have to ask. You know, people start networking groups, and you know, there's a, was it BMI or something like?
BNI.
Ours isn't like that. Ours is fun. We're not military based.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what I was addressing was sometimes we're not militant enough in those kinds of groups. So we have a good time, but we're never really asking. Whereas BNI
is, they make money. You know, they do. They make money on those referrals.
I went to one of those, and the real
year made like $75,000 in referrals.
Wow! Just in referrals. Wow.
Yeah, and that BNI, she was a RE/MAX agent.
They were
giving out awards that the time I went, and it was different members, and I was going to join, but they didn't have enough members to start a new chapter, and I was going to get a few more people that I knew to join, and I was going to be the realtor. The realtor usually starts it, so I had the title attorney, I had the mortgage broker, I was going to have a home inspector, and I had like a few people that wanted to join with me, but you need like 12 people to start.
I've talked to them, and I did know that
they make a lot of money. I mean,
they're very strict, though. You get 5 points for everybody you bring in. They have very specific requirements. So,
Let me just address that real quickly because I mean, they're two different ends of the pendulum. And while BNI, I understand that they're pretty strict. They're pretty, they're pretty careful. You're in it to give referrals and get referrals. And you know, they're on the right. They got the right rate. They're doing a lot of things right, but they alienate so many people along the way that it becomes a very challenging situation. On the other hand, you know, you take the group that you were talking about. You say, well, you haven't had any referrals, but we sure enjoy getting together. Well, I think that there's you know, both groups need to come closer to the middle. And, you know, your group right now needs to be able to say, okay, look, guys, you know, we're networking, you know. I want to give you guys leads, you know. If you see leads, are you going to, you know, am I going to be the recipient if I give you leads, you know. And maybe you guys need to actually sit down and say, okay, look, we want to have fun. We don't want to be so strict that people can't get in here. But we also don't want it to be just a group of people that's just having fun, because you're investing your time, your effort, your energy, your social resources at that particular point, and you're looking for a return, okay? And so the one way is that I need to be constantly, even if you made it fun and just said, okay, yeah, everybody bring 20 business cards next week, and you know, we're going to play a game of just, you know, this is how we're going to do it. You know, just give my card, and you've got 30 seconds to tell them why they should buy from you. You know, I'm just making this stuff off the top of my head, honestly, guys. So, but I'm looking at this and saying, okay, look, how do I get something out of something that I'm not getting much out of right now, except for friendship and fellowship? Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah, and I actually love it. I think that's because I am the leader, so I can do whatever I want to with this group. And
you could be the boss.
I've brought in the leads because I use the chamber. They let me use the leads forms, and they have somebody there that like records. And we get about, there's 18 of us, and we get about 5 leads to one another But I give a lead, since I'm obviously the leader. I give a lead or two or three out every single time we meet. And,
right.
And so I'm trying to set an example. But I think I love the business card. Let's. Why would you refer me? Let's give the 5-minute commercial or the 2-second commercial or whatever it is that they, you know, want to do. I like it. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. I even thought it was a great idea. I'm really excited about that idea.
Well,
anyway.
Because then if they can't give you the referral or they can't give the commercial, then you know you need to sit down with that one
right.
and talk about why you should get the referral.
Right, right. And, you know, again, they're going to get better at why somebody should refer them or refer to you. And at the same time, you're going to know more about your people.
Yep.
So that's cool. Great idea.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Read ahead in this next chapter as much as you can. Really, guys, continue to read the books that I recommend. If you're not done with them, continue to read. If you need any additional resources, let me know, and I'll throw some more ideas at you. It really is just one of the keys in this marketplace is I got to stay up. I got to be up, okay? And, you know, sometimes when I get this poem on my wall, it goes like this. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things go wrong that you mustn't quit. And that's my encouragement to you guys. Don't quit. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on the things that you're doing. Keep going, and it will pay. And we'll talk to you. Do we have a special time? Oh, no, we talk on Tuesday, 2 weeks from today, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I will look forward to seeing all of you in 2 weeks.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye, Dawn.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.